Simeon takes the shotgun snap, and he's back to throw. He throws it underneath. Pass intercepted by Jackrabbit. He's to the 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 44 yards for Jackrabbit.
That was Bob Papa with the call on the Giants radio network. Janoris Jenkins with a huge pick six. The highlight of the Giants' stunning upset of the Broncos, 23-10. Hello and welcome into Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the New York Football Giants. I am your host, Courtney Fallon. On a night where the Giants went into Denver in an improbable victory for the Giants, stunning upset, 23-10, with their first win of the season. And with that, I welcome in my panel of Giants greats, who are very happy this evening. Dave Deal, Sean O'Hara, Amani Toomer, all smiles ahead of this huge victory, their first of the season. My first question is, which Giants team showed up tonight? They seem to be changed in all sense of the word.
Yeah, what a remarkable win for the New York Giants to go into Mile High Stadium, to go into Denver against this vaunted defense, the number one ranked defense in the NFL. And I thought the story of the game was the first drive. The Giants march right down the field.
Yep.
They get 3 points. It wasn't a touchdown, but it was 3 points. For the first time all season long, they scored on the first drive of the game. And I think Mike Sullivan calling the plays did a great job. Obviously, he had a great rhythm. I don't think anybody predicted them to run the ball this well, but the offense looked really good right out of the gates. And I think that gave the confidence to the defense that, hey, you know what? Despite the fact that we don't have Odell, we don't have Brandon Marshall or Sterling or Dwayne Harris, our offense actually looks pretty good.
And what did we say? What did the defense need to do? They needed to create pressure, and they needed to get takeaways in key situations. JPP was all over the field today, winning one-on-one matchups. You saw when they were able to dial up pressure, they were able to get after Trevor Siemian, really stymie the run. And look at the way that Landon Collins, Janoris Jenkins, and the rest of this group was able to respond, have hustle plays out of Kennard and win. It was a total group effort that physically dominated up front this game from start to finish.
And one thing I want to say is the way that this team came out, they have an identity now. They don't have their stars at the wideouts. They don't have, you know, some of their flashy players. But what they do have is an offensive line that if you give them an opportunity to become physical, they can. And they ran the ball on the best defensive team against the run in the league. I really like the approach to this game. I don't know if it was Mike Sullivan calling the plays or if it was Ben McAdoo's scheme, but whatever it was, it worked for this group of guys, and that's what I've been talking about
season. To him, last week you called it. You said,
yes, he
Eli's,
did.
Watch, Eli's going to play better, and this offense is going to look better without Odell, without Brandon Marshall. And it wasn't a slight against those guys. It was just that it was going to force everybody else to play better, and you were right. You hit the nail on the head. The offense – They protected better. I thought Justin Pugh at right tackle did a great job.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody wants to go up against Von Miller and be one-on-one. Certainly they gave him some help. But, you know, John Jerry going back to left guard, it didn't work out well when he did it against Tampa Bay, but he played well. And the run game right out of the gate, Orleans Darkwell, I mean, he took over the game. I know Eli only threw two passes to wide receivers, but Evan Engram all of a sudden burst on the scene too. That was great to watch.
But he should only throw the ball to two wide receivers when you can get it. Big chunk plays like this. Orleans Darkwar, man, this guy.
That was a great block by Fluker.
I've loved the way he runs. He hits the hole. When he hits the hole, he hits it with aggression. And that's what we need. We don't need guys that can, you know, that try to look for places to go, hit the hole, press the hole, allow the offensive line to open up the holes. It just, it worked a lot better this way. And I think that I think they found something on offense, found this, their identity of this team and where they work best. For the offensive line, they haven't been great pass blocking. But what's good for pass block? A team that can't run a pass block, run the football, keep the defense off. And we didn't hear Von Miller practically all day.
Yeah. One of the things that I like were we talk about adjustments during the game, and we saw those with Mike Sullivan and the way that they were blocking in the running scheme. Number one, you love, like you said, opening drive. We're starting to test the edges, see if we can widen out the defense. You start identifying, okay, the wide receivers are struggling getting inside to block the safeties that are coming down in the box. What do? You start going two tight ends. You get Ellison Adams at the line of scrimmage. And then all of a sudden, you're able to get those point of attack blocks to spring that ball outside and have the big gains like Darkwa had. So great job by the offense. Great job sticking to it. And great call by Mike Sullivan by changing the tempo up for this offense.
Well, I think the biggest question now, what does a win like this going into Denver against all odds? I mean, they dominated from start to finish in this one. What does a victory like this mean for the franchise and the morale inside of that locker room, Sean?
Well, I think this was huge. Obviously, it's been a tough week for the Giants, for the players, for the coaches, for the fans, everybody. To start out 0-5, nobody wants that. But everybody wanted to know, what was the team going to put on the field now? How are they going to respond? And mm-hmm. I thought that opening drive getting points, but the defense, the spirited yep. play of the defense. I mean, what they did in the red zone, the goal line stand, I mean, we were talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looked, memories. It looked kind of like in 07 down in Washington. Mm. That was week two, obviously a little different scenario. But, you know, when you look at what this defense did, last year they were the best in the NFL in the red zone. And they've kind of stopped. There you see a little nice play by Eli Apple. They come back. B.J. Goodson here with a nice play. Breaking up on a little cross. They go for the field goal there. They end up missing that field goal, but then they held them to a field goal yep. another time, and then here is the goal line stand. I mean, this is phenomenal defense right here.
Low and man wins.
And going into this game. Effort by Janoris Jenkins right there. He's going underneath the pile with all these big guys in there. Most corners won't
great
do
awareness.
That on the goal line. They're the one that most corners don't want to hit. This guy yeah. goes in there, sacrifices his body, goes after the knees, try to take away the leg drive. And it works. He does a great job.
And Jenkins had a great game. I mean, the pick six was huge.
And they were targeting him. They yeah. were challenging yeah. him as a football player. He rose to the occasion and came up with the big play, pick six, and it completely changed, once again, the dynamic, but momentum back to the Giants' side that we can close out this game in Denver.
This is the defense that we thought we would see in the beginning of the year, yes. right here, with yeah. the turnovers, opportunistic goal line stands, really clutch in the red zone. This is what we expected to see. It's 6 weeks in. Let's see if we could keep this going through the rest
the
of the season.
The three areas that they did great in, stopping the run, the red zone defense, and turnovers.
And yeah. you also have to remember that you're missing a couple of key players on the defense, Casillas, yes. Olivier yeah. Vernon yeah. inactive, and, of course, DRC with that suspension. Well, this is a moment that all the men on this panel have been waiting for.
Wait, is this really happening?
This is actually happening. The
yes!
ladies, Baconator. Yes, the
you
Giants
get a
have won.
You
and now
get a
Giants
Baconator.
Fans.
We love
will
you, Dave.
Benefit.
Yes,
Thomas.
All right. Well, this is how it goes. The Giants have won. So now all Giants fans can stop by a participating Wendy's tomorrow, request free Baconator fries with any premium hamburger
say
purchase. Free Baconator
yeah.
fries.
Victory. You get a Baconator. You get a Baconator.
These fries
and you
are
get
good.
A Baconator.
I know that Sean O'Hara is already planning his escape from our facility so he can have some Baconator fries tomorrow.
That's
we'll
right.
hear from the head
love
coach,
bacon.
Ben McAdoo, after the break.
Lay off
Baconator.
The starving.
I'm so excited right now. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Right now, we got to head back to Denver, where Paul Dottino is standing by with the star, the rookie tight end, Evan Engram.
Well, Evan, 5 catches for 82 yards and a second quarter touchdown to put the Giants up 10-0. Big game for you, and you knew coming in you were going to have to contribute.
We came out together, man. We came out together. Our guys had to step up. Guys had some opportunity this week. We had a great week of work, and we believed that we belonged, and we believed that we were going to win this game. So we came out here. We all phases. Defense played lights out. Offense took care of the ball. We made plays. It was a team win today.
Knowing how many of the receivers were down and that you were going to have to do some of that other stuff and other guys were going to have to pick it up, what was the mission? What was the intensity about you guys making sure you got it done?
Man, we just came together. There was so much doubt. We weren't given a chance to win this game tonight. And that put some fire under our butts, man. We put the work in. We came out here and executed. Hey, good job, bro.
What does this say about the character of this team?
Says a lot. But it's just one win. We got to keep going. We're going to get back to work on Tuesday.
Evan Engram, thanks for your time.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Back to you guys.
Well, at times you might have needed a roster on hand to identify all the new names, numbers, and faces, but it was Evan Engram, the rookie, the first-round pick that they got in the offseason that did the majority of the damage. He knew going into this game that his number would be called, stepping up on big occasions and big plays, and that is exactly what he did tonight, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, he was really big in attacking the middle of the field. I thought he did a great job with the yards after catch. Obviously, Eli and he are establishing a great relationship, but look, it makes sense. You know, I mean, when you have all your receivers down, when you look at the defense and you're going against Chris Harris and Aqib Talib and Roby, you're going to try to take advantage of these linebackers. And that's really what they did. Here you see them all in the middle of the field. I mean, two, you can call out these routes here. But this is, this is just him basically working across the middle of the field. It's all crossing routes, shallow routes, dig routes.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that that the Denver Broncos wouldn't try to take him away. I mean, Simmons was having a tough time all night trying to keep up with him. They put him in man-to-man situations, which I didn't really think was very smart. But hey, Evan Engram, I mean, for a rookie in his sixth game to be asked to carry an offense, I mean, and for him to do what he did, I mean, the numbers are, you know, they're great for a rookie. They're great for a tight end. But especially like a first-round draft pick, a lot of people have been questioning because of the fact that, you know, our offensive line's been so bad and they draft a tight end. This is why they drafted him, because he can make plays when everybody else is down. And he with the touchdown tonight, it really shows that he's improving and they're indoctrinating him well into this offense.
And you always talk about somebody on the offensive side of the ball that scares you. For them defensively, they knew that this was the target. They got him implemented right away early in the first drive. And you could see the defense starting to adjust to open up things in the run game and for everybody else. And like you said, for the people watching, well, we've been waiting for this out of Evan Engram. He got his opportunity and he's capitalized on it. So once we get him now rolling, you could see how it's going to open up other things for the wide receivers group that don't have a lot of experience. But once again, it will help the running game by spreading out the Will and the Sam linebackers outside.
We have to head back down to Denver, where Paul Dottino is standing by with another star of the game, cornerback Eli Apple.
Well, Eli, personally speaking, you had been in a bit of a slump, but my goodness, tonight you came out with aggression, intensity. It looked like you were a guy in a mission. Could you tell me about it?
Yeah, that's just how we wanted to come out as a defense. We wanted to come out and set the tone and just play great fundamentals.
Knowing how many big plays that you guys had given up in the secondary over the first several weeks, what was it that made it locked down for you?
We just wanted this one a lot. We knew we were the underdogs coming into the game, but we wanted to just shock everybody and prove ourselves right, that we could come out and compete with anybody.
They say turnovers come in clusters. Sometimes they're lucky, but my goodness, you guys were able to get a bunch of them tonight. How'd that happen?
We were just hunting. That's how it is. You know, when you're just out there hunting, and you're seeking for the ball, and you're getting pressure on the quarterback and playing great complimentary football, things like that happen.
Look like the real Giant defense is back, doesn't it?
We still got things we want to clean up. We gave up a little too many yards, but our red zone defense was a little bit better today, but we just got to continue to build on it.
Eli Apple, thanks for your time.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, back to you.
That is a very happy Paul Dottino. Trevor Siemian, the Denver quarterback, had only thrown one interception through five games. He threw two picks in this one, a forced fumble. A lot of times we've been talking about Eli Apple as the guy that every quarterback has been cluing in on, but he really shone today.
Yeah, it was interesting, their approach for the Denver Broncos. They went at Janoris Jenkins a couple times, and they went one too many times when he had the interception for the pick six, but they didn't go after Eli Apple until the second half. They really started to go after him, but he was up to the task. He had some really good pass breakups in that red zone, played with a lot of confidence. If you're a corner that doesn't have confidence, then you shouldn't be a corner. Even though he struggled early on, you still have to have that confidence, and that's exactly what he did. Really good position. He's been in good position pretty much the entire season. It's just that he's playing the ball. He played the ball a lot better tonight. Didn't catch the penalties with the hooking and the holding. Confidence, you have to have it.
And what helps that? Being able to get pressure on
exactly.
a quarterback so that
exactly.
the quarterback has to get the ball out of his hands earlier. And that's been a whole thing, how everything works in sync with each other, especially on the defensive side of the ball. JPP, three sacks. We saw Snack Harrison doing it on first and second down. I mean, he was getting mugged the entire game. But that was the biggest difference in this game, being able to apply that pressure and forcing an inexperienced quarterback to make those throws like he did, and that we capitalized on as a team.
This defense had a totally different aura about them. And, you know, when you're 0-5, it's almost like, hey, what's the worst that could happen? We're going to lose again? Like, so they just kind of let loose, and I thought – Steve Spagnuolo dialed up the pressure again. I mean, we saw a lot of pressure coming, not just from JPP, but the blitzes were getting home.
Yep.
Ross Cockrell did a good job coming off the slot. We even saw Landon Collins getting in there. I thought Landon Collins, the interception with Janoris Jenkins and the forced fumble, those plays, you know, it really just, you could see it kind of help with the confidence of everybody, both sides of the ball. I thought this defense looked, like you said, too, exactly like the defense we thought we would see week one, building off of last year, but I don't know why we had to wait till week six to get it, but better late than never.
That's right.
Well, head coach Ben McAdoo saying all week, nobody believes in us. Maybe the rallying cry actually works because the Giants responded in a huge way. We'll be right back here on Giants Post Game Live. But first, Giants fans, enter for a chance to win a Panasonic mirrorless camera body at adorama.com/Giants. Adorama, the official retailer of the New York Football Giants. Stay right here. Plenty more to talk about. And the head coach is going to speak after the break. Welcome back to Giants Postgame Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Right now, we got to head back to Mile High in Denver, where Paul Dottino and Howard Cross are standing by down on the field. Guys, take it away.
Thank you so much, Courtney. And obviously, the Giants bench energized tonight. Howard, I want to talk about that defense for a second. A couple of important numbers. They only allowed 46 yards rushing, 5 of 17 third down conversions. They had 4 sacks. They had 3 turnovers. Which of those numbers do you think was the most important?
I think the whole thing was important. I think the big thing was the frame of mind the defense had. You know, you come into a game, you lost your 3 starting receivers. You're looking at the game in a different way. They came up big when they needed to. They made stops, sacks, stopped the run. They did everything that you wanted them to and wanted to see them do. Even had a great goal line stance. That's what defense is supposed to do.
Yeah, and we could tell that defense had a lot of fight in them. They were energized on the bench the whole night.
Absolutely. Snacks walking up and down the line, you know, giving the offense high fives after they come out during the series. They were ready to go.
I'm glad you mentioned the goal line stand. It was Landon Collins who was in on that one. Now, the other thing we wanted to talk about was the running game. 148 yards as a team. Orleans Dark were a career high 117. And once again, they showed a lot of energy in getting that done.
I thought it was very interesting. They ran right at the heart of the defense of Denver. They ran right up the middle. They didn't do a lot of outside runs. Some of the runs bounced outside, but they were right up the middle. They went right after them. That's a great thing. Quick plays, quick snap counts, not letting them jump around everything, and they ran right at them. That made a big difference in the game.
Now, one other thing that was a little emotional about this team, Brad Wing, the former LSU teammate of Odell Beckham Jr., brought Beckham's number 13 helmet to the bench tonight and actually put it up on the bench as a symbolic gesture because he wanted everybody to know that Beckham was still with this team. You guys know he had surgery on his fractured ankle last week. He's been in the hospital all week, but Wing wanted to make sure that his teammates were respecting him and that he knew his teammates were thinking about him.
That's kind of nice. That's very nice.
Good stuff. Howard, we'll talk to you again next week. Right. Let's send it in to head coach Ben McAdoo.
All right, had a heck of a team win out there versus an outstanding football team. I thought we played physical and heavy-handed in all 3 phases. It's nice to come out here and get a win. We'll open it up.
Can you smile now?
I am.
That's smiling?
Ben, I mean, what does this mean to get this, you know, get this first win and kind of move past?
Yeah, it's 1-16. You know, we felt like we had a good plan coming in. They're a tremendous, tremendous football team in all 3 phases. Give credit to the players. They came out. They executed the plan at a high level. We knew it wasn't going to be a real pretty football game, but that's our style, and that's how we feel like we have to win. Physical, heavy-handed. There were a lot of messes on the field, and I liked it.
And what was the thought process in with the play calling, Mike? And was that something you've been thinking about?
Yeah, it's more than just today. I need to do what's best for the team. Just like we asked the players, just like we asked the coaches, and I thought the team needed me. The whole locker room needed me this week. I needed to be at my best for these players and coaches this week.
What did you think you were able to get from it by not having to do that during?
I was able to give all of myself to the men in that locker room in there.
Will that continue, Ben? Since it worked obviously this week, is that something you plan to keep doing?
We'll revisit it moving forward, but it looks like a pretty good plan.
Ben, when you talked Friday, the idea of how, you know, nobody giving you a chance in hell and can't score without 13, that was the message you gave publicly. Was that the same message you gave to your guys in the locker room?
Yeah, we talked about it on Tuesday morning in our team meeting. We talked about it all week long, revisited it last night, and we talked about, our record wasn't good, but that doesn't mean we're a bad football team. We're a good football team. We just need to find paths to victory. We found one tonight. Now we have to start stacking them.
You talk a little bit about Orleans and then the game he had, just in general the running game.
Yeah, he's a natural back. He knows where to run. He has those type of instincts. He runs heavy behind his pads, and it was nice to see him cash in really for the second week in a row.
How much of a relief was that, for lack of a better word, when he broke that off the goal line there that late? I mean, that was probably.
That was a big play in the ball game. It's tough to against their defense. It's tough to run the ball. They're giving up about 50 yards a game, let alone when your back's against the goal line in one of those noisy end zones. So it was tough. Give credit to the line. You know, they got some nice push in there, and he found a crease.
Ben,
He found a crease and he accelerated the crease. That's the difference.
Coach, can you give us a little bit of a description of what your game plan with Ingram was? Because he made a number of big plays and key moments during the game.
Yeah, he's a rookie, but you know we can't continue to treat him like a rookie. He's a guy that's going to have to make plays for us and be a big part of our offense moving forward, even though he is a rookie. He's a talented young man. He has a lot of details in the game that he has to improve, and he will improve moving forward. That you know, he's talented, and we're gonna put him in position to have an opportunity to make plays.
How did you limit Von Miller? What was the plan to try to slow him down?
You know, again, we ran the ball a lot. You know, that helps. Third down, we had to pick our shots. We knew it was going to be a messy, disjointed day with the way they play defense, and we asked our big guys just to come out and you know, fight and punch and you know, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some, but that's not going to be the difference in the game. You just have to keep on fighting and be the best team at the end with the way we fight.
You have to be pleased with what Justin gave you at right tackle.
He went out and he battled his tail off.
Is that going to be a permanent move, you think, going forward? He'll stay at right
again, tackle? You know, always and forever don't exist in this business.
What went into that decision? Why did you want to put him at right tackle?
I wanted to play him at right tackle.
Coach.
Was it a Bobby? Did you want him in for Bobby, or did you want him in to face Von Miller? What was the
I felt just. I wanted to play Justin at right tackle. Thought he gave us a great chance to win the game.
Coach, we all knew that you guys were shorthanded with wide receivers. Can you give us your...
We had four dressed.
But your view of how Eli went into today's game and how he ran this style of offense today for you?
Yeah, Eli played the way we asked him to play, and it gave us a chance to win the game.
Ben, when did you decide to make the decision on the play calling?
It was beginning of the week.
Was it your decision? Was it something that other people talked to you about? Did anybody throw by anybody to sort of?
It's my decision.
Anything else?
You're going to say you're going to revisit the DRC situation beginning of this week. I mean, do you anticipate he'll be back when you guys return to work on Wednesday?
We'll talk about that when we revisit the situation.
When is he planning on coming to meet with you about the other day? Set yet?
No, nothing set in stone yet. All right, thank you.
Locker room.
That was the head coach speaking at the podium moments ago. McAdoo confirming that he made the decision to give up play calling earlier in the week. They kept it under wraps and announced it on the broadcast, but it seemed to work for the second straight week. They scored points in the first quarter, a move that I know that you liked, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, I love the rhythm right out of the gate. And, you know, look, you can't just call the plays. You still have to execute. You still have to block. And you still have to run. You still got to do it. But the fact that Orleans Darko had 21 carries, to me, just said a lot. I mean, early on, it was, hey, look, we're not going to let Eli sit back there and throw the ball 45 times against this defense, and rightfully so. But to have that kind of rhythm and that confidence in Orleans Darko, I think it starts with Mike Sullivan and the play calling and that mentality. The night before the game, we used to get the first 15 plays. And when you look at the first 15 scripted plays, a lot of those were runs. I think offensively, you wrap your head around and you say, okay, this is what we're going to do. It helped that the defense kept them in the game and got the turnovers. But offensively, they were physical. They were physical at the point of attack. They bludgeoned this Denver Broncos defense that, as McAdoo pointed out, they were giving up 50 yards a game. They held Marshawn Lynch, Melvin Gordon.
Look what they did to Dallas.
Yeah, Ezekiel Elliott. They held all those guys to 95 yards combined. It's pretty impressive what they did.
And think about controlling the time of possession in the first half. They dictated the pace of the football game offensively, which gave the defense confidence and figured the defense being able to respond. Denver gets into the red zone two times in the first half. They come up with 0 points and settle for the field goal. That's exactly what this defense needed to do to respond and give this offense confidence after that big 7-play, 75-yard touchdown drive to Evan Ingram.
Yeah, one thing we talked about was that was the first time in a long time that the Giants have scored on their opening possession.
Yeah.
And that really just set the tone for the entire game. It gave them confidence because usually we're going into the third quarter, we're going into, you know, sometimes even to the fourth quarter before the Giants even get on the board. And that weighs not only on the offense, it weighs on the defense. Can these guys on offense score? Are we out here fighting for nothing because our offense can't give us any points? To get points right off the bat set the tone tonight, and I think that was one of the major reasons why, that this team looks so much different than they did over the first five games.
All right, hold that thought right there. We got plenty more to talk about after the Giants' big 23-10 win over the Denver Broncos. Guests of our post-game show received a gift certificate to Ben and Jack's, located on 5th Avenue and 28th Street in Manhattan. From the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood, Ben and Jack's will surprise your expectations of what a steakhouse should be. We got the quarterback, Eli Manning, at the podium in Denver right after the break when Giants Postgame Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, returns. Welcome back to Giants Postgame Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Right now, the quarterback, Eli Manning, is at the podium in Denver.
I know you guys had a challenge with the situation at receiver. How did you feel like you guys handled that, relying on the running game and Ingram?
Yeah, you know, we knew, it was going to be a little different type of game. You know, going against good defense, we're going to have to run it. We're going to run it and keep running and stick with it. And I thought the guys did a good job. Broke a couple nice runs, hit Evan on a couple, shallow routes and got some big gains. So, I thought right off the get-go, I thought it was a great start to the game. Defense gets a three and out. We get the ball, drive down there. Had to settle for a field goal, but, just moving the ball and saying, hey, we're right here. We're going to be competing, and we had some nice plays. So, proud of the guys, the way they competed, and, had a chance to close out the game, and we did it.
How different was this game plan from what you've done, the rest of this year, or even any time under Ben, really?
Well, it's not so much that the game plan was different. A lot of the same plays. It's just, probably just a greater emphasis on, just sticking with the run and staying with it, just because, we had some new guys and different guys in different spots and the matchups we got. So, I think we did a good job running the ball. We just knew, hey, we might get into, run it twice and get some third and longs. If you can convert, great. If not, we're fine, having a punt. But, we knew we couldn't give them in. Don't make it easy on them. Don't turn the ball over. Play the field position game. Need our defense to step up and play big, which they did. We'll have another week, get some of these receivers and some of these other guys up to speed on some stuff. And we got to, we'll have to throw the ball a little bit, more possibly, but it's good that we could, play this style of football and get a win.
When did you know that Ben was going to give up the play calling, and how different was that for you?
He told me early in the week that Sully was going to call the plays, so not different for me. I'm used to hearing Coach Sullivan in my ear. He calls them all the time at practice. Through training camp, during every day at practice, he calls them. Headset. So used to hearing him, how he calls them. Talked to him. Had conversations early in the week, and knew it was going to be kind of this. We're going to have to grind it out a little bit on the run, and it might not be totally pretty, but had some opportunities, had some good plays, and guys made some nice adjustments.
How much different is it?
Did you go into the game knowing that Ingram? Did you have chances to free up Ingram a little bit?
They like to play a lot of man-to-man, so hopefully had an opportunity to possibly get him matched up on some safeties and try to get him running away on some things. So hit a couple nice shallow routes to him, hit a slant to him. So had a couple nice plays we were able to take advantage of.
How much different?
Well, a tumultuous week for the Giants, putting three of their best wide receivers on injured reserve, a changing cast of characters around Eli Manning. But Amani, he fared pretty well with these four young wide receivers.
Yeah, well, one thing that he said was they're going to have to run the ball. It's not going to be pretty. They're going to grind it out, some of the words that Eli used in his press conference. And that's just because that's how this team is going to have to win. This is the best opportunity that this group of guys going up against the great defense that they were going up against, the number one defense in the league, in the Denver Broncos, two catches between them.
I think if we would have seen that before the game, we would have said it's an L, right?
I don't know, because I knew that if they had more targets than six, that might not be a recipe for success, because these guys are inexperienced, and to go against a no-fly zone in Denver, I don't know if all those targets would have been warranted.
And we talk about leadership. Okay, Eli, 207 games played as a Giant, 205 consecutive starts. We talk about a leader that this team and people should look up to for the Giants fans. Look at him before the game showing receivers how to run a route. Like, I mean, it goes to show you the dedication
he
has
all.
to this football team and how people are able to respond to him. So you look at the way that this team functions, especially offensively, when you lose that many star players that have those personalities, all you have to do is look at number 10.
Well, I'm going to take a look at the offensive line in front because Eli's getting a lot of credit. 19 times he threw the ball. He was still sacked three times, but they weren't all on the offensive line. There was a coverage sack early on. I thought Brett Jones, 2 weeks in a row now, has done a great job filling in at center. He's done a great job in the run games. A lot of these big runs have come in the A-gaps the last two weeks. Justin Pugh moving out to tackle. I mean, it's hard to go from the inside out. If you're going from guard to tackle, you're in space, totally different. I thought Pugh did a great job against Von Miller. Obviously got some help, but John Jerry helped out. And Eric Flowers, look, we've been hard on him, and rightfully so. He's had his struggles, but he played well today too. I think when you look at the offensive line, they got a good combination. This was the fifth different starting combo they've had this season, and I think they finally got it right.
And Eric Flowers, the only player on that offensive line that has held his position throughout the season. All right, we got to hear from JPP coming up right after the break. The Giants' big 23-10 win over the Denver Broncos in primetime. Stay right here on Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live. Right now, we have to head back down to Denver, where JPP is standing by with Paul Dottino. Take it away.
Thanks again, guys. And Jason, it looked like the defense finally drew a line in the sand. This was the real Giants defense that everyone has expected to see over the first month of the season. Mm-hmm. What was different? What happened?
I think the way we play defense, we were relentless. And, we try to get everybody to all hats to the ball. And I think we've been playing that way. It's just that we just haven't finished. I think tonight we definitely finished and we kept the lead. When we've been getting down, we've been losing the lead, and we just kept our foot on the gas and hit the pedal.
Personally speaking, a three-sack game, second one of your career. You had one against Cleveland last season. So what particularly went right for you that you were able to get to the quarterback?
I'm just playing my game, actually. There's nothing that went right. I just executed my plays, and I took advantage of what they had. The tackle went out. And another tackle came in, and even before that, I was trying to give him some moves that I studied the film pretty well, and Coach Pat and Coach Spaz gave me some good tips, and I just went at my game.
Now, we know there were some blown leads in the fourth quarter the last few weeks, but this time it was a 10-0 lead. The offense actually staked you guys to an early lead for a change. How much of a difference did that make?
I think the offense came to play, man. They came here to play today, and, they always come to play. In practice, you see how hard they're working. The receivers stepped up and did a great job. The run game was unbelievable. They ran the ball, and it was vice versa. So everybody played with heart and played with integrity and was relentless, and we came out and won the game.
Jason Pierre-Paul, congratulations. Thank you
very much.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
The stat line for JPP: 8 total tackles, 3 sacks, 3 tackles for a loss, 1
day,
forced fumble.
JPP.
Exactly. You took the words out of my mouth. The cool kids say that. JPP, have a day. What impressed you the most about the way that he played tonight?
Well, I thought first and foremost the fact that he was back at that left defensive end position helped out. Last week he played on the other side because OV was out. There you see, just a heads-up play. He knows he can't get to the quarterback for the sack, but he reaches out with those go-go gadget arms, which I know Dave and I, we tried to block him in practice sometimes, and it's not always easy. But Menelik Watson struggled. Anytime as a defensive end you get a guy benched, I think you take a lot of pride in the fact that they got to send in the next guy to try to block you.
I think it was a combination of everything. Obviously, the push on the outside by JPP, pressure by the D-line in the middle of the pocket, getting at his legs, and then the addition of that add-on blitz with the safeties, whether it was outside or inside, the delayed blitz, once you recognize which running back he was going to go and stem to block. So all in all, you see how each piece of the puzzle added up to JPP and the rest of the defense playing the way that they did.
I mean, you're absolutely right, because the fact that, Simeon was back there holding the ball too. The secondary was covering really well, making him go to the second and third reads. Maybe he wasn't expecting. He thought he expected when he hit his plant step that he would just be able to get the ball off. Having the coverage allowed JPP, allowed the pocket to really collapse. And this is what he talked about, team football. This is what happened. You can't have one side working and not the other. All sides working together, the defense, looked impressive tonight, better than they've looked all year.
Yeah, and then not only that, C.J. Anderson is one of the better running backs in the NFL. We didn't hear his name called at all, pretty much, this game.
On the
game.
Goal line stand when he didn't get in. That's about it.
All right, we got plenty more here coming on Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. The right tackle, the star, Justin Pugh, coming up after the break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Right now, let's head back to Denver one final time, where Paul Dottino is standing by with Justin Pugh.
Well, thanks again, guys. And Justin Pugh, 148 yards on the ground against a defense that was only giving up 51 yards a game on the ground. So you got to tell me about the secret tonight.
Just keep working. Just keep playing for each other. Backs are running hard. Tight ends are blocking. Receivers blocking downfield. It was a perfect storm tonight. We went out there and everyone... You know, obviously, sometimes it builds up. We can't be run against. And then, you know, you get hit in the mouth a few times, and we're able to be successful with it.
Now, when did you know that Mike Sullivan was going to be calling the plays? And was there a certain rhythm or a certain pattern to what he was doing that also allowed you guys to get that early spark? You grabbed a 10-0 lead. You hadn't done that. Was scored on the first drive in a game yet this year.
We didn't do it in San Diego? Well, all right. Well, anyways, I didn't know that coach was even calling the plays until we got in the locker room.
Oh,
so
really?
We were just out there. He's not in my ear. He's in Eli's ear. So we didn't even know he was calling the plays until we got back in the locker room.
Well, now that you had a chance to digest it, was there something different about it? Because now that's 2 weeks in a row. You had 150 yards rushing last week, and now almost that again this time. It looks like you guys are trying to get that running game going.
Yeah, you know, with a great defense, you go down there and you play good field position, get points on the board, eat up clock. That's a great way to do it with our defense and our special team. So it was exciting.
How about Von Miller? Is he as dangerous on the field as he looks on tape?
There's some times where you feel like he's teleporting when he does that spin move. He played great tonight. Well, not as great as he has played in the past, but that's a group effort. O-line played great against him. Tight ends gave him the chips. Running backs running hard. Everything was a group effort to stop Von Miller tonight. A couple times I got matched up one-on-one with him, so I was able to hold my own. But it was just good to get the win.
First win since January. Are you breathing a little bit easier?
I'll be smiling on the plane right home.
Justin Pugh, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, let's go back to you.
We will hit our final segment and recap the Giants' big win, their first of the season. And Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, returns after the break. After the Giants' huge 23-10 victory over the Denver Broncos in primetime, their first of the season, I think, guys, you can all agree, some of the notes to write home about were the offensive line getting the ground game moving, and also those secondary, Janoris Jenkins and Landon Collins, two picks. They had a great game.
Yeah, the defense was phenomenal. I think this whole team really just showed what the greatest part about the NFL is that each week you get a new chance to compete. And I think everybody was wondering what team was going to show up and how they were going to look. And this defense played inspired. They made the big plays. Jackrabbit right here taking a pick six. Trevor Siemian got hurt on that play. And Landon Collins also had his interception. Those turnovers were huge. They ended up turning them into points, and that ended up being the big part of the game.
Yeah, when you have a struggling offense, the best thing to have happen is get a special teams touchdown or points or an interception, and that's what happened tonight. Helping out your offense on the road, down, not having won a game all season, these are the types of things that you need to have a team victory. And, you know, Landon Collins, big interception in an area where when Denver is in scoring position on the fringe, that those really change. They're really effectively taking points off the board, and it's changing the momentum of the game.
And look at right before he threw that ball, what do you see? That pressure continuing to be put on him and on him again. And when we look forward to this Seattle game, that's exactly what they're going to need to do on the defensive side of the ball against a porous offensive line that Seattle's had to adjust. And for this offense, for the Giants, you know this defense for the Seahawks, the last 2 weeks now coming off of a bye, 7 takeaways, and they're only giving up 14 points a game right now.
Well, certainly this is a big game, not only, as you mentioned, coming off a bye. Seattle is also coming off a bye. It's a big, vaunting, big task for the Giants coming up. If they can continue their winning streak, that is next Sunday, October 22nd, 4:25, a late start at MetLife Stadium. Let's talk about this game, Sean. What are you looking forward to most?
Well, I think they got to continue with the pressure. Seattle's been struggling all season long. Their offensive line has taken hit after hit. Obviously, Russell Wilson's a little more athletic than Trevor Siemian. He's probably got to run around a little more.
A little bit.
But I think it's the same story. Can they run the football? Because Seattle's defense is so tough. Again, it's going to be another battle up front. They got to play well in the trenches. But I think it goes back to what I was saying before about competing. All right, now they've shown that this is the team that they can be when they all play together defensively and offensively, and when they win the battle in the trenches. Now they've got to prove it 2 weeks in a row.
It's going to be interesting to see, as you said, if they can run the ball. They ran it against Denver. Are they going to be able to run against Seattle? Are those young receivers going to have to pick up more, young and inexperienced receivers going to have to pick up more of the slack on offense to try and move the ball? It's going to be very interesting to see how this is going to work out. And, you know, after tonight's game, you never know what's going to happen.
And one of the things we also have to watch is one of the areas that you know that Seattle's going to try to impose offensively is Jimmy Graham, that tight end. Right now, the linebacker position has been up and down with some of the injuries. So you know, coming into this football game, Jimmy Graham, especially in the red zone, they are getting him his touches to make sure they open up things on the outside for everybody else.
Any final thoughts that you have on the offensive line? I found it was very interesting that every time that they make these adjustments on the offensive line, it usually give and takes. You know, it helps the running game, it hurts the passing game, but whatever they did, the changes they made on the O-line really helped everything around the offense and get it going, Sean.
Going in this game, they couldn't let Von Miller wreck the game. How do you do that? You run the ball, you stick with it, you stay patient. They provided some help, too, some chips with the running back, some slides. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that as much against Seattle, because Seattle has more than one dominant rusher. They've got a bunch of guys that can do it, so it's going to be harder to provide help for just one guy.
And what do they have to do to get these young, inexperienced wide receivers going? Coming into this game, they only had 19 catches and 3 touchdowns and not very much production tonight.
Well, I think Evan Ingram's going to be the answer. I mean, what is he going to do against Cam Chancellor is going to be the real matchup that I want to see next week. You want these guys on the outside to get experience. You want them to kind of get their feet wet, but you can't have them lose the game for you. And that's why I like the way that the approach this week was not to let these wide receivers, young and inexperienced players, really kill you.
All right. Well, the Giants have the Seahawks next week, and you will bet that Sean O'Hara is going to be leaving here and finding his local Wendy's to find some Baconator fries after the Giants' first win of the season.
Baconator,
it was a big one.
Fire up that fryer.
23-10. Thanks so much to my guests.
Baconator.
We'll see you next week on Giants Post Game Live presented by
Diet Coke.